Can you hear me now? Is that better?
I can hear you. It sounds like you're in something, you know, a tunnel or whatever.
Yeah, a tunnel or an echo chamber or something.
Yeah, an echo chamber. Okay, great.
Okay. So when I was talking to Karen last week, and we were talking about how we want to do this project, I think we've talked a little bit about, we want a website. And we want, we decided, I think we're going to go with Wix. And what I wanted to do today is really start with, you know, why we're doing this kind of thing, right? So in my mind, like, what is the actual goal for the website? Because I think that since we're doing it kind of new, I don't think it makes sense to just sort of recreate what we already have. I think we should take the opportunity to think of, you know, what purpose are we serving? Can we do this better? Is there something we want to add? Is there something don't need anymore? So in terms of that, and that's why I kind of developed this document from that point of view. So I think it's important for us that to think of that and define the goals and what the value is to the person who is going to visit the website. And I talk about, websites are usually two kinds in my mind. There's something that's an external facing website, which I think of like a storefront, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have somebody new and you're advertising your organization and sort of selling your product, right? Like, this is who we are, this is what we do, and sort of enticing them to buy, in this case, join your organization, right? So that's the idea of the external facing. And then the internal facing website, to me, is the part where it's for your members or people already familiar with your organization that might actually be coming to look for specific information. So it might be specific information in terms of, you know, who are your officers or maybe a specific event, you know, when is it or where is it? Like that kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a good website, you kind of need a balance between the two. So especially in terms of content, I think it's important to have that sort of general information about your organization, but then also have the specifics, and I just notice there's a typo, about exactly like the events and whatever your programming is. In terms of images also, I think the same thing falls for images as well, right? So for example, when I look at a Now website, we can put out images that are stock photo that hopefully are more appealing to, you know, the kind of audience that we want to attract. But then at the same time, we have members definitely who want to see maybe archive photos. They might even, like when you have an event, you know, you may want to put photos of your event that members want access to. So I think that falls for both of those as well.
Mm.
So what I did also was I looked at the current website and I sort of broke it down in terms of what a modern website, like what the tabs and things would be. So the way we think of, you know, a website, the way we think of the home page is, you know, again, that's your storefront. So that's where you're going to attract people. And we also think of it in terms of real estate. Like the first page of your website is expensive real estate. So you have to be careful and you want to be very intentional in what you're placing there, right? And so I think it's really important that your website should have, you know, some kind of mission statement or what your values are as an organization right off the start, like right there on the front page, because that's going to bring people in. And we've talked about before, like the scholarships, for example. Again, you know, if you want people to actually apply for scholarships and know that you give out scholarships, to me, that's something that should also go on your front page. Programming, like, you know, the AAU work smart program that we did, if we still want to advertise stuff like that, that can go on your front page. What you have on your current front page is just a listing of events. And honestly, like that to me just belongs in a calendar. I mean, that should not be the entire page. One of the things that I have found missing on the website, and that might be because you're on the AUW.net, is that there's no information between, I know, the about the foundation, right? So I think it's important under about to have the distinction of the club versus the foundation. So maybe have two sections or two pages under about describing what the different organizations are. So for example, if we have time later, I can show you our new Now New Jersey website. And we are in a similar kind of situation where we have a 501c4, we have a 501c3, and we have a PAC. So we have what we call the Inc., the foundation, and the PAC. And then we also have the same thing where we divide them up in terms of different tabs. And then the officers and chairs would also belong under about. Given that a lot of your activities are actually events, I would recommend an events tab. And then that is somewhere you can put all your programs, so your monthly programs that you do, plus also, you know, information on your interest groups, and obviously the book sale or any other fundraisers that you choose to do. The newspapers could go under like a section called blogs, or I mean, we can call it whatever, but that would be a different section. And the reason I say that is because on most websites, there's a blogging feature, like Wix has a blogging feature, and so does like WordPress and all. And so that's what you would actually use to put the newspapers up. The join link, I think one of the important things right now, and we've all realized that a little bit more with, you know, the pandemic, is that it really helps to have things online. So I think it's really important to have some way of being able to collect payments online.
That's a big one.
And actually, to be honest with you, Hetty, it's easier than you think. And then Jeff,
well, except for the fee. Yeah. Except for the fee of having a online payment.
Yeah, but you know what we found is that from because of the convenience point of view, and then the fact that if you don't collect online, sometimes you don't collect at all.
Yeah, right.
Right? Makes up for the fee. And then the footer portion of your website usually has some links. And I would recommend that, you know, the links to like AUW National, AUW New Jersey, some contact information. If you want like a privacy statement, you could put that there. I don't know if you have bylaws that you want to put on your website, like the Now New Jersey website has bylaws there. So those are the kinds of things that you can put on the. Keep in mind that all of this is up for discussion. This is just the starting point. This is just, you know, what I found. All of them can be moved around. We can add to sections. We can take away. We can have completely new sections. So this is just like a starting point. And I don't think we're going to walk away today with answers for all of these either. is just to get the conversation started.
Before we get into this detail, Anjali, I'd love to go back to the question about the external facing page, particularly, and I mean, not just the homepage, but in general, the retail question versus the members question. So that might affect, for example, the photographs, and you have this on one of your earlier slides about imagery. So when I go to the national site, the pictures are of young women, mostly diverse. And I mean, they're clearly stock images or hired images. I mean, it's not the snapshots of an event for the most part. And so like, if we were to use those stock images, this is a question I'm asking the other people online, are we going to present a picture of who our members are, either literally or just in terms of the pictures we select from stock photos, or like a cohort that really is much more inclusive? Oh, I love this one. Yeah, thanks.
that's a pretty interesting one. I remember way back at the board meeting when you started to talk about this, you said that you were thinking of a website that would represent us or be representative of who we are and all that. And you know, at the time I thought, well, you know, that makes a lot of sense, but do we know who we are and who we are trying to reach? Clearly, we'd like to attract, you know, younger people, but we can't forget that picture that you showed earlier, that cohort is pretty much what College Club is at this point. And so, you know, to keep them involved and interested at some, I mean, we can't exactly like AAUW National has done. I mean, they, in terms of the photo images that they're using, are pretty much all young people. So they're very clear about that. And I don't know if at this level we want to do that. I mean, you know, really show totally young people, but that we have some representation of the current membership in the photos without making it seem like it's an older club. It is an older club, so we have to recognize that.
So here's what I would recommend is, and that's why I talked about what's the goal, right? Because I am going to show you the Now New Jersey website. And Now has the same problem, right? The League of Women Voters has the same problem. So what we have done is that, you know, first you have to have that internal conversation with your own members and your own club, like, you know, where do we see this club going, and what do we actually want? How do we build it, right? And that conversation at Now, I will tell you, you will not find a single member, I would say, at Now who does not believe that it's really important to attract younger and more diverse membership. Mm-hmm. Okay. So once you have that conversation and once everybody is in agreement and they understand that that's the goal, then it becomes a lot easier to say that, well, then that's what we want on our website, because this is what people are going to look at. Remember, this is your storefront. So if you're hoping to attract people to your organization, that's what's going to get them in. And I mean, you know, I'm going to share something that hopefully will stay here. You know, I've had issues where we have a local club local chapter where they have their meetings at somebody's house, and it's around the dining table, and there's six or seven people, and they're all older, right? And I've had younger people in that county reach out and say, I want to form a club, right? Or a chapter. And they have now taken over two chapters, like two counties, and I'm trying to have them let one go so I can have these younger people start a new chapter. And they're like, oh, why don't you just send them to our club? But the reality is that I know that if I ask these people to go there, they'll never come back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's, Jamie, you were going to say something?
I agree. And if, you know, depending on the priority of your messaging on the website, you know, if you are looking to attract new, new people to the organization, and, you really need to open up that door. But maybe there's a way of also recognizing, I think what's great about this group is that there are so many people who have a lot of experience and have also experienced the same challenges today that have been experienced 30 years ago, right? 40 years ago. So maybe, you know, through some clever messaging, it could be like, you know, bridging the generations around issues that are important to women and really kind of, you know, calling out that it's an organization that's been around a long time. And we have people who have been with this organization from the beginning, but our door is always open and we want to continue to address that. I think your target goal is to help women who are currently in their career or, you know, navigating. And so I think, you know, there's an opportunity to just expose both, but I think that you have to, definitely have some relevancy to this organization, because there's a lot of competition out there for people to join so many organizations. Yes, and so I think, you know, giving yourself the opportunity to show your relevancy is great. And then the impact that you can have on people is another key message. But I agree with what you're saying. And I just think that, you know, you don't want to discard one or the other. I think you can combine, you can do both, right, but you prioritize.
Right. And I would also say, sometimes it's also good to just do like reflection on, like, you know, when you joined this organization, right? Like, what made you join the organization? Right?
Yeah, right. I think the impact, I just like the focus that the organization had on kind of, like I just said, almost like the bridging or the reaching out the hand to help the next generation. I really thought that was appealing. And I like the fact that the first event I went to, I really was, I liked hearing the experiences that other women have gone through, and whether it was successful or not for them, I was inspired to learn from others. So I think that there's people are looking for what you've got, the knowledge and experience that you have. So that was a draw for me.
Right.
Yeah. I think also that, you know, we can't forget that we are a branch of AAUW, and aside from the imaging piece of it, you know, they're clear about the message of equity for women and girls, and so that's part of the identity, and that's got to be front and center, and then we start dealing with these various things like a diverse membership, which I think we should be focusing on younger people, you know, that kind of a thing. They're offering a lot of programs that address, I think, diversity across the board, which is kind of interesting. And so we could certainly tap into that, but that's the identity. That's our reason for being, other than being an independent organization. So I think that's a place to start, and then move to what audience, what groups are we do we want to put this message out to? We have to think about, you know, the club and the future of the club. So yes, we're definitely talking young people, a diverse audience, and at the same time, those members that have been with the club for many, many years, there's something for them as well, which is primarily in the programming, I think.
Right.
So
I'm going to just quickly share our website.
Great.
Can everybody see this?
Yes.
I see you, Anjali.
Pardon?
I see you in there. That's
but,
great.
You know, other than that screen, which is actually a new one because we just had elections like 10 days ago or so, you'll notice that all of the others are actually stock photos, right? But the messaging that we wanted to send, again, the diversity part, which honestly, like if you look at a new board, it's pretty diverse too. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to send that there's a place here for young people, you know? And we start with, you know, a basic definition of what NOW is, right? And then we just had a state conference. So we have a little video here that's really just a thank you video and thanking our sponsors. Then we have a little bit about, you know, why somebody should join us. And these are links to other pages on this website itself. Then this is actually sort of our news feed. So these are all press releases and things that we've done recently. Here is our calendar of events. And you can actually click on each one of these to actually see what the event is that day. And we have a Twitter feed. So this is our homepage. And then if you go under and you look at what we have, this is what I was talking about, under the about, we have the New Jersey NOW, which is our actual INC or 501c4. We have the foundation, which is a 501c3. We have the PAC, which is the New Jersey PAC. So it's under NJLEC rules. And then we have a link to National NOW. We basically, you know, at the state level, we do a lot of like legislative work. So we talk about core issues, and the core issues are actually NOW's core issues. Those are not like, it's not at the local level. So it's kind of like what you were talking about, the AUW national agenda, you know, so that you could put in there. So something like that. So like, if I were to click here, you'll see that even though we do keep it on our page, it's pretty much like the language here is from the national website. And if you actually click one of these links, it will take you to the national website. And then the priorities is, you know, if somebody really wants to learn, and see, this is where, like this photo, for example, is from one of our rallies in New Jersey.
Wow.
You know, so you can sort of have your own photos and, you know, but not necessarily maybe put them on the front page, right? And then this is like the actual work that we're focusing on right now. So this page is like fairly current, I would say. You know, with like bill numbers and things that we are actually focusing on right now.
Menstrual equality.
The legislative, I'm not gonna click on that because that actually takes you to like a sort of a Google sheet that has a list of bills that we're following. Under programs, we recently, as I said, we had our state conference. So if you go to the webinars, it actually takes you to all the different programs that we had for the state conference. And then this was a register link. Now they're all watch, we turn them into watch nows because we recorded all of our webinars that people can watch later. So here's a little description. Here's who the panelists were. And then you can click on these to watch them on our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So this is actually really interesting. This was part of our state conference. We started this project sometime, I guess, in the spring. And this really goes back to what Jamie was saying about, you know, we've had that, we have that same problem. And now, and I would say now, actually, we have an even bigger sort of age gap and generation gap and ageism on both sides. You know, the young people think that the old people don't know anything. And then the older folks don't want to let go, you know, the control. So we've had a lot of issues nationally with that. And in talking to people, I was looking for how we can, you know, sort of bridge that gap in some way. So what I did was I paired, we started with 10, and then we actually got 7 completed. But what we did was we asked 10 of our, as we call them, our seasoned feminists. Some of them have been members for 50 years. If they would be willing to be interviewed for like an oral history project, right? And we paired them with students in high school and, you know, like my daughters who are recent graduates from college. So some of them we found because we had interns and then, you know, my daughters are actually members. And then a couple of them, so we do a lot of work with other youth organizations that are relatively new. Like there's one called Generation Ratify. There's one called period.org. So the Generation Ratify is a youth-based organization working on the ERA. And the period.org is one that's working on menstrual equity. So I had met these young women through that work and I asked them if they were interested in doing this. And then we basically, what we got was, we ended up with 7, as I said, and this is just some of our archives photos that we put on here as part of the project.
I love it.
But if you click on one of these, so this is, and then what we did was we asked the young women to conduct the interview and it was done over Zoom. So they recorded the Zoom and then they used the Zoom to write like a short article.
Well, that's great.
You know, and those are on here. With a little bio of the person that they interviewed and then a little bit about the, you know, young woman who actually conducted it. But we were really fortunate because when we were working on this, we were approached by another organization called Collab Arts out of New Brunswick that said that they wanted to take these pieces and convert them into art pieces. Mm. And actually the first one was just released today. So I will send you the link after we're done with this call. So they actually took, let me see. So the first one that was released today was Judy Buckman's. And what they took was they took Judy's story and they contracted with 5 different artists. So they're converting 5 of the pieces into a short play or a spoken word piece. And so the one that was released today is Judy's story, where this artist took the transcript that they got from the video that was recorded and then created a 12-minute piece that they then performed. And that video was released today. Mm. So it's pretty neat. And I mean, I have to tell you, like, when I saw it, I thought it was amazing. And for somebody, you know, and I sent it to Judy because I was like, I wanted Judy to see it first before it gets out there. And her reaction, because when you take your own life story and you've been fighting for this cause for 50 years and to see that put into a 12-minute piece is pretty incredible. So, you know, there are ways, and the only reason I point this out is because we all have this issue right now. I think all of our organizations are struggling with how to recruit new people and how to bridge the gap. But I think this is something that can be replicated from organization to organization to organization, because I think all the women in these organizations have incredible stories that are not being recorded or told. You know, and I think, I think the younger feminists in this case learned something too. And I will tell you, like, all the older women thoroughly enjoy the process. So I think it works for both. So I think there's definitely room for you, you know, for someone in College Club to do also something like that. I would also highly recommend getting interns, because that has helped us bridge the gap tremendously.
Interns?
Yeah.
Like high school students, college students?
College, yeah.
And what would they do?
So I know, like, the League of Women Voters, for example, has been doing the local chapter, the Berkeley Heights Summit and New Providence chapter,
right,
has been doing interns, and every year they identify projects for them. So it could be something as simple as going through your records and cleaning them up, you know, or or like the last year they wanted to put together a book of suffragette poems or poetry songs.
Oh yes, right, yeah.
Right, so Susan had them working on that. So you can identify what your project is, and then, you know, they gain experience, they get to put it on their resume, but it also gets your name out to a different audience, right? And I think that really helps. So, like, for example, when you go through the scholarship process, right, and you need help with that, maybe you get some college students to help you. Because the college students, a lot of them are done the beginning of May, right? So you could have like a 3 or 4 month, a 3 or 4 week internship and ask them to help with the scholarships. Anything you can identify.
So ID projects. What you've shown us thus far, I mean, you have a lot of content. You have a lot to talk about. And when I think of College Club, I'm thinking that of the programs that we have, you know, the programs that we had in August were, you know, about the 100th anniversary of women's right to vote. And there was a lot there to, talk about. On the whole, there really aren't that many programs. And maybe because now we're in this strange period of COVID, it's hard to see, hard to think about what can be offered, since it has to be offered virtually, essentially. And so that's one thing on the content. You can get the membership excited around the book sale, even though we're getting fewer and fewer volunteers for that. And, you know, who knows where that will be going. There isn't a lot around the feminist activist, you know, sort of topic, you know, in College Club. They're pretty much straightforward. And that could be a function of the fact that they're older members, they've done their bit, and they don't, you know, need to get involved. And so we would have to actually come up with projects that might appeal to a younger audience, and you know, that's a committee that would definitely take some doing to kind of develop what that program would look like. That would not necessarily be a program for the general membership, sort of thing.
And it could also be, to pick up on Jamie's earlier comments, something about bridging the generations, so that you get both points of view and you connect through whatever it looks like, rather than trying to split our programming and other things across the two audiences. I mean, some things are clearly going to appeal to one side or the other, but some of the examples Anjali just showed us, I think, do a great job of creating that bridge. So so this is inspiring. I like this a lot.
So I have a question. So if I were to ask you, Hedy, when you joined a College Club, why did you join?
Well, let's see. I joined in 1988. And I joined because someone talked me into, you know, being part of this group that was interested in women, way back then, harassment on campus and a problem which hasn't gone away in 30 years. And we had a president of College Club at that time, Liz Haugen, who was a real feminist, and she was really on top of this. And she actually, you know, talked me into being part of this because College Club was doing something about it. And so that's the time that I joined, you know, kind of thing. And it involved the members. At that time, a lot of the members had expertise in various things and would give talks and whatnot. So it was important at that time. So that was a long time ago. I mean, 30 years. Is it 30 years? 32 years? 33 years? I'm telling my age.
Yeah, it is.
Of I thought it was pretty cool. It bothered me though at the time that there wasn't a lot of diversity in College Club, you know, 30 some odd years ago. It's essentially the only Black member. And but you know, I felt that the conversation of, you know, around women and equality and all that was enough for me at the time. But, you know, not much has changed in all this time until now. I think that National is starting to deal with these big social issues AAUW, I don't think really addressed up until this point in time. It was pretty much, you know, focused on one area. And so now they've broadened it. If that helps.
So, I mean,
I don't know if that helps or whatever.
Well, I mean, you know, I get it because, I mean, obviously we are basically an activist organization and, you know, I'm having these conversations all the time. So even when you're talking about, say, campus assault, like we actually, one of our, if you get a chance, I'll send the link to the webinars, and one of them was about that. And we're actually talking about what we can do in New Jersey. Because, you know, I will tell you that if you talk to, I had this conversation recently with my daughters, and we were talking about how the issues that matter to feminists have changed, right? Mm. And the number one issue for young feminists is that it's campus assault, with, you know, hands down. Mm. So, you know, again, when you're appealing to that audience, and this is something that, I mean, if you were to do an actual session about that, your members would be interested, right? Mm-hmm. And you would get the younger members or people at least to come in. So, for example, if you did a screening of a movie like The Hunting Grounds, right? And you could do it at a school or a library, and you would get younger people. And then have a conversation about it. And I have the perfect person for you to invite to that. there's a professor at Rutgers Law who really wants to do legislation around that. And she would be great to have, like, you know, she would come on and talk to you about it. So I think in terms of your programming also, you can start thinking that way. The other thing that I know, like the League of Women Voters did, for example, last year, they did this huge project with the Girl Scouts on voting rights.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Susan told me about that project.
Right. So, you know, and I think there's room for all of our organizations to do that, right? Like you could do one about, you know, any kind of like education issues, whether it's STEM for girls or, you know, I'm sure there's like, you know, bullying in schools, all of those things, right? So I think there's opportunities within each one of our spaces to sort of reach out across generations in terms of programming and bringing them in. And I know that, like, I mean, I told Karen this a long time ago with the regards to the scholarships. I think the biggest selling point for Summit College Club is the scholarships. And, you know, A, I would put right on the front page how much money you've given away. And the other thing that I would do is that those girls that you give the scholarships to every year, they have award ceremonies in their schools, right? So if you go to the actual award ceremony to hand them the scholarship there, and it could be an empty piece of paper, because if you want to give it to them later when they come to you, that's fine. You get to advertise your club, you know?
You mean instead of having a separate event where we would give the recipients the certificate and all that kind of stuff, actually go to their high school?
So I'm saying do both.
Do both. Because
if you go to the high school, you could just give them a blank piece of paper for all. The fact is that you get to go on stage and you get to tell them that we are the Summit College Club and we have given out hundreds of thousands of dollars in scholarships over the last whatever 20, 30 years, 50 years, whatever it is, right? It makes a statement, and there's going to be more people. And remember, all those parents sitting in the audience, their kids are going to college. They're looking for something to do.
Well, you know, I hate to throw this in, but there are a lot of organizations out there that provide scholarships. And they, you know, more recently, we've been giving out scholarships, you know, in excess of $20,000, right?
22.
1,000, which, you know, unusual compared to what we've been doing, you know, 5 years ago. And the Junior League, the Rotary Club, I mean, you know, lots of organizations are out there giving scholarships. So while it's a big thing, I mean, you know, people do take notice, but there's got to be more to it. I mean, it certainly helps, no question. And
you'll be surprised, Hetty, though. They do not give out as much as you guys do.
I would say the Junior League gave what, $25,000? I mean, we're competitive if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, but I think the Rotary has not given out as much as we, you know, not give out $22,000. They I think were lower this year.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you know, I would agree that we haven't touted this enough. And we always seem so apologetic about, you know, how much money we're giving, and, you know, we didn't want to say how much money we're giving. And until finally I said to Mary Lou, who was writing the press release at the time, I said, we got to say how much we're giving out, because that's a lot of money. And not only that, it's only 5 people that we're giving it to. So obviously each one is getting, you know, $5,000 or something. That's very, very important. We could use that, but we also connect that with the book sale. The book sale is the other thing that's kind of, if anything, has put us on the map, not any of our programming, but people know about this book sale that happens every spring, and they look forward to it. And maybe that's why we do so well, because we've built up this following. Then we connect that with the scholarship piece, you know, which is, people say, oh, you know, this is to fund scholarships. You know, that's a good piece of information. I would say that those are the I would agree that the scholarship, but certainly the book sale is the other thing that people recognize Summit College Club for, even though they couldn't mention, they wouldn't be able to mention specifically that this is Summit College Club. They would just say, the people who do the book sale.
I think that's a missed opportunity, right? Like if they don't know what the organization is, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I totally agree. And there are ways that, I mean, we're getting into programs and book sales rather than website right now, but there are ways that we could help people connect the dots, even if we just produce like bookmarks, paper bookmarks. The people who are buying a paper book. They're not subscribing to an online book. And tell them your purchase just funded a girl's education, you know? So there are ways that we can do that, but on the website, we can make it part of our identity and right. and part of what's in the front of our store, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree, but it's kind of the secondary part of our identity. The reason for our being is AAUW and its mission, and this is how we exercise that. This is our contribution to that whole thing. And whereas if you look at a lot of the branches around New Jersey, they are more project oriented in connecting to the community. They, for example, under COVID, there were projects to help all of the healthcare people and whatnot. They're really more out there. They connect with libraries and they do projects with other organizations in the community, which gives them more visibility. And all of the things that Anjali was mentioning earlier, all of that has to do with connections to the beyond what your membership or your organization. And I think that's a critical piece. And if we could have something like that on our website, that we are not this insular group just doing stuff, but that we are interested in reaching out to the community, I think that gives us more.
Right. And I was just thinking about, so when you talk about coronavirus, right, and the COVID pandemic, so for example, like if you give out $22,000 in scholarships and maybe next year you decide we're going to do $12,000 in scholarships and instead the other $10,000 we're going to buy, because a lot of kids, when you talk about equity, mm-hmm. who need to be online right now, maybe don't have access, to whatever they need to get online.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you decide that, we're going to contract with somebody and buy $10,000 worth of equipment and give it to, maybe it's like the Elizabeth School District or the Plainfield School District where there's a real need.
It's a good thing we have our finance chair on this call because she'll be the one.
No, I'm just, I'm just
thinking. We've kicked around a few things in our meetings about the foundation. Now here we're talking about the foundation, and I totally agree that that is something that we can talk about on the website as a separate thing. We do projects and initiatives. We have a projects and initiatives award, which goes to an organization that meets certain criteria, but we've talked about more community oriented initiatives that we could put money behind. That could go on the website. I mean, we're just kind of throwing out stuff that can go on the website. I mean, I think we kind of know that some of the things that you talked about, what should go under home, our identity and all that sort of thing. And then into these various areas, bridging the generations through our photos and imaging and all of that, and getting these messages across. I that's kind of broad stroke, but
I have a question, just a clarifying question. So you had said that our mission or our focus is really the AAUW's mission, which is gender equity, right? So are we really saying that gender equity is the core mission and focus?
Yes.
Because it's
gender equity. Well, it is. Well, one of the things about being a branch of AAUW is that we subscribe to the mission of AAUW, and it's reflective in our activities and programs and communications and all that sort of thing. That's kind of the foundation of the whole thing. And, you know, we may have moved away from that over the years, but because AAUW National has now changed, moving more toward an inclusive kind of membership.
Right.
I mean, they're thinking not just diversity, but men, the LGBTQ community. I mean, it's way big. And they're coming up with their own programming, which they're providing down to the branches. I mean, you don't really have to think about stuff anymore because they're providing it. So how we carve out our own identity to bring people to Summit College Club is, I think we've got more to work with, but you know, we still have this relationship.
I think that one of the benefits, though, is that a lot of the organizations in the area, everyone has a focus, right? So like I belong to the Junior League, and it's all about supporting the healthy lives of women and children, you know, or you have the Summit Marches On group, which is a lot about, they're doing a lot of political change, right? So they're more focused on that stuff. But equity, you know, gender equity, however you want to frame it, equity, not equality and inclusion and diversity, but equity. That's such a powerful topic that I don't think any other group is really tackling, which is the hard facts around the inequality or inequities, I guess I should say, of how women, successfully navigate and thrive in their careers. And
yeah. So
it's a unique topic. And I think, you know, hinging on that and using that as like a, it's also a very hard topic to talk about for people. And I think the more the website can inform and educate people on that and kind of pull them in by the facts. Like I noticed on the AAUW site, they have a lot of data and facts. And you, if you are able to pull some of that into your messaging.
Absolutely. And a lot of, I've looked at some branches and they actually do that. I mean, they're specific in terms of where you need to put your focus with regard to equity, economics, or, you know.
Right. So, okay, and I think what you're talking about. Right. And I get the thing that what you're talking about is more economic equity, like pay equity kind of thing.
It's pay equity, but it's also in education.
Right. So, I mean, when you take, to me, equity is a much broader topic because equity, honestly, is racial justice. It's all of those things, right? And so there are organizations that do that piece, but nobody actually just focuses on what you're talking about. So I think pay equity is definitely a big piece. And I can't tell you, like, when I have conversations with people and I tell them that I'm president of NOW, like, one of the first questions I've asked a lot of times is, like, why can't we get pay equity passed? And then I have to reply, I have to tell them, A, what does that even mean? Like,
right.
And B, actually, in New Jersey, we have one of the strongest pay equity laws, but no one knows that. So if you don't know that, and you know, that's an opportunity for you, right? So if you did a series of like town halls just to educate people, like, you know, we have this law, and if, you know, it protects you and it gives you a way of penalizing your employer if he doesn't, you know, pay you what you deserve, right? But if we don't get that information out, no one knows it. And that's an opportunity to do some programming around that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. We've talked about a lot of things as to be expected, you know, given, you know, this type of meeting. Do you have a sense of what, well, we probably could discuss this. This is a good topic for like a strategic planning group,
right,
which yeah, we right, don't have. So I guess we're the the strategic yeah, planning group.
So I did want to, I think when Karen and I talked, we really didn't have, I think I have a better idea today of, you know, what you want on your front page, for example, right? So I think that's a starting point to then now start putting down some messaging and some like exacts on like, okay, this is what the front page is gonna have and things like that. So mm-hmm, actually, if you go back to the slideshow that I created, the last page is sort of the next step. So, you know, finalizing the URL, I think we had talked about doing summitcollegeclub-auw.org, right?
I think it's just summitcollegeclub.org. No. And in fact, Paul read it. Remember you looked
yeah,
it up?
Yeah, he read it, but the other one is available. The AAUW, I forget what it was, dash. Karen, you had it in your write-up about.
Yeah, I would just go with Summit College Club then. It's
me too.
Easier. Yeah.
Summitcollegeclub.org.
So we know we want to develop the messaging and we want to do the appropriate visuals. And then the last one I would say is definitely set up a PayPal account. And it's really easy to set up a PayPal. All you need is a email, and it could even be just summitcollegeclub@gmail.com. Like, you know, that you.
Yeah, that's easy to set up. I don't know, you know, I've had some experience doing that, and if you are a, I guess it doesn't matter if you're a 501c4 or a 501c3, they have this thing where they, just to make sure that you are real, will put like 2 cents or something, a nickel right, into an account.
Right, so it's really, it's more the bank account, like yeah, they wanna really make sure that it's your bank account.
Yeah,
that you're linking to, that you're not like siphoning money off somebody else's bank account.
We have to link it to the bank account, and you have to download. I'm doing it on another thing. You have to download the receipt of the payments periodically.
Into the books. Put this on the parking lot. Yeah. We have two bank accounts, right? And so donations to the foundation are going to be handled differently than membership fees. So just something to have in the back of our minds as we go forward on the payment piece of things. It's not essential.
I don't think the PayPal is as important right now, but I do hear you. And Jolly, you know, as far as making it easy for people to join.
Right.
But I think on the website here, I think as we, you know, go through your various tabs that you have there and try and develop material on it, I think we'll be trying to flesh out these ideas we've had today.
Right.
And see how difficult or not it may be. But like each one of those could be a meeting, like what do we want to do with the homepage? When do we want to, you know, show there right now? So I think in the process of doing that, we'll be trying to answer these questions.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, I know that we all want to get off to watch the debate, so.
If it goes longer, it's okay. It doesn't matter when I start.
Yeah. Let's hope it's better than the first debate.
It would be very interesting.
I wonder how far apart they're going to be on this. They'll have a plexiglass thing that goes from floor to ceiling for these guys.
Right.
Be hard.
All right.
Well, okay. So, what would you like to do? The next meeting, as Lynn suggested, which I think is a good suggestion, is to start to peel away the various tabs or build on the various tabs, starting with the home page.
Right.
And maybe even some stock photo suggestions about what would, you know, be on that. On this bridging the generations idea, I like that a lot.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, I've always thought that over the past couple of years, we did have a program where we had some of our older members in technology present what their careers had been like. But whenever I think of that, I've always thought we should be interviewing them or writing down their stories. So as Anjali suggests, you know, have sort of younger members interviewing the stories of these people. Mm. So that was interesting to see on Anjali.
Yeah.
So do we want to set a tentative date now for, you know, I don't know what works for people, a week or two out?
Definitely would have to be after November 3rd.
Good. Yes. Yeah. I'm good with that. So 2 weeks out is November 4th. And if we wanted to push it beyond the celebration on the 8th, we could do that, or we could pick something 5th or something, Thursday. I don't know what.
Well, right. I could do the 5th.
Yeah, that's, I can do Thursday. The 5th. I can't do the 4th. Yeah.
Okay.
I can do the 5th.
That's okay. Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Thursday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same time. Okay.
7:30.
Okay,
that's great.
I can do in the meantime, or any of us, is there something that each of us should take away and do and come back with, or do we just want to circle back on the?
I'll definitely write up notes from today.
Maybe I was going to say look at the AUW national website and see what we want to grab from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a lot of good content.
This conversation has been so helpful, just in even, like, as you said, I think, Heidi, like, this is actually raising the whole issue of our strategic vision for the club, for who we want to be in the future, who we need to attract, how we need to maintain everything. It's, I really didn't think a website would do this, but I haven't done this before. So clearly, yeah, it's very, very, very necessary. So thank you.
Yeah. And then, you know, if we're hoping, you know, people come to the website, but, you know, that's another concern that I have is, you know, the traffic to the website, to AAUW and all of that. Some people seem to think that, gee, you know, people move into the area, they may be looking for AAUW or club in the area. You know, and I thought, you know, well, how will they know that? How will they get to the, you know, where would they start? You know, kind of thing. So, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with other things that we're doing, media and, you know, articles, write-up, publicity, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, more content that you create, then you can share that content. And I don't know how everyone's going to feel about this, but, you know, sharing that content on social media and routing that content back to your website is, you know, so yes. How it works. So a lot of the ideas around the stories and all that can be great content for online that or for social that can drive people back to your website for more information.
Yeah.
And I know that everybody's afraid of social media, but honestly, that's a great thing for an intern.
Exactly.
they're really, you know, those young folks are really good at that stuff. So
the fact that you're calling it that stuff is so revealing, but that's okay.
It is, you know. I wasn't a Facebook person for a long time. It wasn't, you know, the last, well, I retired, you know, a few years ago, 6 years, 7 years ago. And I was just amazed that if you didn't have a Facebook page, if you weren't on LinkedIn, or if you did, there were a whole bunch of things, all of a sudden it exploded that you had to be on and engaged in. It was like, oh my God, you know, how do I navigate this stuff? It was a lot then. And so when I retired, I thought, oh, gee, well, I don't have to do that anymore. Famous last words. Yeah. Famous last words. Here I am on Zoom. It's like, wow. You've come a long way.
Indeed.
A long way.
Yeah. On the other hand, we're seeing a lot of problems with, you know, the social media technology, but I don't think any of those will be solved soon. So I'm not saying it won't be used by people. Okay.
We'll be good.
I know we're wrapping up, but I just want to throw out one quick idea. You mentioned LinkedIn. So since this group is, you know, based on professionals, you know, who have been in the space for, like, you know, LinkedIn, you could put a badge if you're a member of this club, you know, on your LinkedIn profile. And maybe there's even an opportunity down the road to put together like a mentoring network or something, you know, of women from this organization who could mentor other women or anyone really. And LinkedIn could be a really great connector for something like that. Just an idea.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. That's a great idea. LinkedIn profile. LinkedIn has of course become a lot more sophisticated in terms of the groups and that are, you know, formed. Not just, you know, you could be part of, you know, the an alumni or whatever.
Exactly, right.
Great, great idea. Okay.
Okay.
Let's keep them coming.
So Thursday, November 5th, 7:30. I'll send out the link.
Terrific.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, everyone.
So much. Thank you, Jamie, Anjali. You know, you're an angel.
Yeah. Great work.
And
yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Hi, everyone.
Okay. Night.
Take care. Be safe.